Welcome to the refuge, and for all of you who brought food and drinks and desserts, come on, give them a hand. All right, don't ever bring it again. Nobody liked it. Now it's off the hook tonight. This is awesome. And I was told, Pastor David sends his love. He says he just got home from taking his son Noah to see The Hobbit. And if those of you don't know, Pastor David's son is 17 now. He's been unable to walk or talk. He got struck by lightning. How long ago? Yeah, about 7 years ago. And so he's in a wheelchair, but he understands. And so he probably like oohed and aahed and laughed through the whole movie. And when he gets excited, he just goes, ah, and people in the movie theater are like, what is that? But so it's pretty cool that they go to movies together. It's kind of their thing. So, well, welcome to the refuge. I want to give you a heads up that there will be homework tonight. So Daria, pay attention. No, actually, there will be homework tonight if you choose to do it. I want to say this, that I have a dream, a big dream, and all of you are in it. So thanks for coming. You guys are part of my dream. Anybody have a rough week this week? That one light right there is really bright. I did. I had some stuff stolen, my phone, my book bag. And the guy stole it, tried to sell it back to me for $500, just the phone. He wasn't going to sell back the MacBook Pro. So if you got a MacBook Pro just laying around, you don't need it. It was a quiet week, though, other than the police and the guy who stole my stuff trying to sell it back to me. I did get my phone back, thank God. Yeah, because I was using hers. So all of you who wished her happy birthday, thank you. She wasn't there to receive it. I was. My wife turned a beautiful 51 this week. Yay. I stole her heart when she was 18. Never gave it back. Anybody know Leif Hetland? He just sent me a text. He says, I love you. I'm going to Cuba on February 12th. Would you like to go? See, Dan, you should have stuck around. We're going to Cuba. Well, we're doing a series of messages on community. And if you didn't hear 2 weeks ago or last week, I want to encourage you. Jamie has been amazing. The podcast, literally, he's finishing before we leave here in the evening. So they're up. By Tuesday, they're up online. You go to harvestva.org. And under media, there's the Harvest sermons, but there's also the Refuge ones. So if you miss one, you can always catch up on it. Or if you really liked it, listen to it again, or recommend another person listen to it. But the first week, we talked about how God exists in community, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. How when Jesus came, he was born into a family. He had relationships that when he started his ministry, the first thing he did, he surrounded himself with people. The most important, significant moments of his life, he did it with people. He didn't do it alone. And it's ironic, you know, if you see somebody tonight who's not here that normally is and you miss them, a lot of people right now are struggling with sickness. They're struggling with just really rough family stuff, job stuff. Life can be really hard sometimes. And one young couple, I was talking to her through Facebook today. And I just said, you know, I really, really miss you. And her response to me was, I really miss you too, Pastor Mike, but we haven't been in a really good place lately, so we've been kind of hiding. And I just want to say that the refuge, if we really are the community God wants us to be, then you should really come here on your really good days. And if we're the community God wants us to be, you should be able to come here on your really bad days. When life's going really good, you should be able to be here to encourage. And if life's going really bad, you should be able to come here to be encouraged. There's a verse in the Bible that says, rejoice to those who rejoice. Don't you love getting around friends and just laughing? Isn't that fun, just having a really great time? But that same verse says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. And one of them is not more spiritual than the other. And both of them are needed. And so I just want to encourage you that when you're really going through stuff and life's really hard and you're not feeling very spiritual or very holy or very, you don't feel like you have anything to give to anybody, well, then this is probably the best place for you to be, because it allows us as individuals to encourage you. Amen? Last week we looked at the New Testament church and how, they gathered together in large groups and in small groups. And I talked about, have you ever seen a one-winged bird fly? And how the example is in the church, the large group is one wing. It's that big celebration. That large group helps us understand that God isn't just our buddy, that he is all-powerful. He's majestic. You know, it wasn't just this, little thing that caused Jesus to rise from the dead. All of hell tried to keep him in there. There was power involved in that resurrection. Literally the earth shook. Things were happening in the heavenlies. And we serve a God that is very powerful, all-knowing, all-existing. And when we get in a big group, and you're sitting there with hundreds and thousands of people and you're worshiping, it's kind of like that Isaiah 6 thing, and that's really important. When Isaiah walked into that thing in Isaiah 6, it's like, and here's a prophet, a man of God. He falls on his face and says, woe am me, because I have unclean lips, and I live among unclean people, and I'm about to get toasted by some angels. They got six wings, two covering their eyes, two covering their feet, and two they're flying with. I knew that would kind of freak me out, seeing that stuff, and it freaked him out. And the angel Lord came and touched his lips and says, you're clean now. And purified him. And our God is that God. Our God is a God who one day will come and he will judge and the nations will bow before him. And he will establish a kingdom, and it won't be a democracy, it will be a kingdom. And there'll be a king and there'll be one person who decides, and it'll be Lord Jesus. But it's important for the church to meet in smaller groups too. Because that other wing on that bird is that small wing. And that small wing is when we gather in groups, small groups like this, and even smaller groups like Matt and Dave's cell group that started Thursday night. Smaller groups. Why? Because Jesus said in Matthew, where two or three of you gather, I'm going to be in your midst. In John 14, his disciples are getting discouraged because he's telling them, I'm going to leave you. He said, no, this is not going to be a bad thing. I'm going to leave you, but guess what? The Spirit of God's going to live in you, all right? And he said, I will be in you and with you. There is some dynamic, if you'll acknowledge it, where Christ comes in the midst. This God that's so far away and so powerful and so high and lifted up comes near. He's eminent. He's close. And he wants to comfort. And he wants to encourage. And there is some aspect of God's presence. Yeah, God's everywhere, but there's some dynamic of God being with us that if we even as families, when we sit down at a dinner table, if we would pause for a moment and not just say some religious prayer that we always pray, but really pause for a moment and say, Lord, I believe the Bible is true. And in Matthew, it says, if two or three of us agree and we gather in your name, you're in our midst. And Lord, as a family, we're going to bow for a moment. And Lord, we want you to come and sit at our table. We want you to sit in our family room. We want you to be with us. We're so busy trying to frantically figure out life and doing our own, we forget that he wants to come in and be with you. So when you gather with a small group of young people or a small group of people from the refuge, and I'm going to encourage you to open up more home groups where people can come during the week and you guys can gather together, you guys can fellowship and share life. Because it's there that you realize God isn't just far away, but he's near, he's close. And we need to know that sometimes. Sometimes when you're walking through life, you don't need to know that it's going to be okay one day. We need it's going to be okay today. We need to know that he's with us and sitting at our table. There's a reason we set up the room that we do with chairs and circle, and that couch isn't supposed to be over there. It's supposed to be swung over a little bit. Where everybody, you can't hide your face in here. Why? Because your face tells 1,000 stories more than your words. How are you? Good. You look at him like, you lying piece of you know what. You're not good. Yeah, I'm fine. Oh, good. Young people say, I'm straight. Any young person say, I'm straight means they're not. They're not. And you want to be in a community where somebody across the table can say, hey, you know what? What do you, you want a cup of coffee? You want some hot chocolate, some tea? And you go and you grab it and you sit down. I'm going to sit with you tonight. Because there'll be times before the refuge, quote, music and after the preaching where you can stick around and say, you know, seriously, how are you? How many know we live really busy lives? And for us to hang out a lot more often than this, it's difficult. Which is why it's so important to make it each Sunday night. Why? Because it's the opportunity you have to connect. Joshua sitting here, he encouraged me a number of times on Sunday nights. Hey, have you seen that movie, The Ragamuffin? No, I haven't seen it. Man, you need to watch that movie, Pastor Mike. And then I'd see him like a couple weeks later. And Pastor Mike, you seen that movie yet? I'm like, no. He said, man, you need to see the movie, The Ragamuffin. And then like a couple weeks later, you seen the movie? I'm like, okay. There will not be another time he asks me. I'll say, yep, I saw the movie. Check it off my list. But I saw the movie. My wife and I sat in our family room and watched this movie called Ragamuffin on Netflix. And we wept and we cried. And it ministered to my heart some areas that I needed God to touch. That happens not because Josh goes to my church or he's a person who sits in a row for a service to hear three fast songs, three slow songs, announcements, an offering. Oh, by the way, the offering. I forgot the bag. I'm really bad at this offering thing, but there's a box in the back, and we can use the money. We really can. All right, so please, if you did bring something, drop it in the box on the way out. But that's not why he told me to watch this movie. He knew because of things we have shared in our lives over the years that that movie would minister to me, and it did. Tonight I was sitting with somebody here from the Refuge, and I said, have you ever seen this movie? What movie? The Ragamuffin. And I'm telling stories about this movie. And I hope they see it. But see, the Refuge needs to be the place where it's not just one arm where we can have celebration, but we have community because a two-winged bird can fly better. Tonight I want to talk about the whole concept. Let's say you buy into it. Let's say you decide, I don't just want to go to church. I asked one of you today, I said, how long have you been in church? And she said, my whole life. I said, really? Why do you keep coming? No, seriously. Why? And she said, you know, your preaching is so amazing, Pastor Mike. I just feel the angelic voices when you talk. And that's not what she said. All the worship, it's just, no, nah, that's not what she said. What she said was, it's the fellowship. It's the people. And yet sometimes church can be so busy being church and doing church that you hardly ever talk to anybody. There was people in the hallway between the first and second service today at Harvest that got yelled at for being so noisy and fellowshipping in the hallway before the service started. Because the band had started, which meant you're not supposed to be the church anymore. You're supposed to go do church. Right? Because we have a program. And I'm not saying the program is wrong. I said that. But the point is, these people were trying to connect their lives, and the ushers were trying to usher them in to sit down so they could sing the song. How many of you, if you never heard another song in your life, and I love music and worship, but if you never heard another song in your life, you'd be okay. But if you never had honest, genuine, authentic communication and connection with somebody the rest of your life, that would not be okay. It'd not be okay. I was talking to somebody the other day, and I'm like, you're singing a song. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. You're singing. No, you're not. No, I'm not. I'm like, yeah, you were. He was singing his own song. There's one thing you can't do by yourself. That's fellowship. That's connect. So let's say you buy into it. Let's say you decide, you know what? I want to do this thing. I want to not just go to church. I want to experience community. Then the next question you have to ask yourself is, then what do you do? Because some of us, it's just like, okay, I think I'm supposed to do this, but what do I do when I'm sitting at that table? What do I do if I come early or stay late? What do I do if I invite another couple over for dinner this week or have some friends at my house or open a home group? What do I do? Well, you could do what most churches do when they have cell groups or small groups. They sing three fast songs, three slow songs. They have announcements. They take an offering in the group. Somebody preaches a sermon, and then they go home. That happens. They just take what happens in the big church, and they turn it down into the small church. Don't do that. Come at you to your dinner table. Okay, kids, it's time to eat. All right, three fast songs, three slow songs. Here's the announcements for the family this week. Okay, now we can eat. All right, a closing prayer. Now you go on your way. At some point, your kids are like, dude, our family's weird. But we don't know how to do church other than that. And so let me suggest that in the Bible, that there are all these verses, and they're called one another verses. In other words, you can't do them by yourself, and they have to be done with somebody else. One another verses. All right, now, there's 100 times in the New Testament alone of one another verses. One third of these verses have to do with unity among people that are in the body of Christ. One third of these verses talks about the need for us to get along. Why would there be a need to put that in the Bible? Because I think we have a tendency to not get along. All right, verses like, be at peace with one another. I have been in church meetings where people were standing on the pews yelling and screaming at each other, signing a petition to get the pastor kicked out, the board threatening to resign. It was the ugliest thing I'd ever seen, and that was an annual business meeting at a church. And we did it all for the glory of God. How about this one? Don't grumble among one another. Well, one thing you're not supposed to do at the table is grumble and complain with each other. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. I'm not going to accept them. They're not like me. Well, some of us in this room are glad there's not a lot of people like you. How many of you would like everybody to be like you? If you're married, there'd be no need for the other person. We're supposed to accept one another. Wait for one another before beginning to have communion or break bread. In other words, when, say, food's open, don't run each other over. Like, get out of my way, man. I'm first, second, and last. Wait for one another. Serve one another. Here's one. Don't bite, devour, and consume one another. That's in the Bible. I put, seriously, guys, don't eat each other. Don't boastfully challenge or envy one another. We used to call that theology on tap. Yeah. How about this? Gently, patiently tolerate one another. Hey, maybe you even got to like loving one another yet, but at least what? The Bible says tolerate one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, and forgiving to each other. Bear and forgive one another. Seek good for one another. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't complain against one another. Here's one. You ready? It's number 13 on this list. Confess sins to one another. All right, we're going to have a workshop. We're going to take about 3 minutes, and we can confess all your sins to each other. Ready? Go. Yeah. We're not very good at that one, are we? We're not. Why? Because we're not close enough. We're not in relationship enough. I was telling somebody, Isaac walks up to me today. So excited to see me. He comes running here. I hardly got out of the bathroom door. He about tackles me. He gives me this big hug. Pastor Mike. And then he tells me, my dad's here, and my brother Josiah's here, and my mom's here, and they're all going to want to see you. And he's hugging me and that, you know. And so I asked him, I said, how was your week? He said, good, good. He said, how was yours? I said, I had a really bad week. He kind of looked at me. He patted me. It's kind of like, he patted me. You know what? That meant something. I mean, if you know Isaac, that meant something. He was like, there's like this empathy happening. Like, I don't know how to fix that, but. And then he rubbed my back a little bit, and he patted me a couple more times. Like, and it was kind of like he was better. I'm telling you, it was better. I'm glad Isaac's in my community. I really am. I really am. And he's up here doing the rock star thing in between. But one third of the verses have to, one other have to do with loving one another. Love one another, serve one another, tolerate one another in love, greet one another with a kiss of love. Now be careful with that one. Some of us have personal boundaries different than yours, maybe. I was in Bogota, Colombia, with some of my young people one time, and they have a thing where they just kind of like cheek to cheek, and they don't really kiss. It's just kind of like, but you're not really putting your lips on people. But one of my young people didn't know that, and he got kind of mixed up. And the pastor's daughter, and this pastor's the second largest church in the world, right? And he went to kiss, he turned, next thing you know, it's like they're almost like lip locking, just like this. It was such an embarrassing moment. Although I think the young man, he enjoyed it. The pastor's daughter was not so impressed. I explained to him, no, they're not really kissing, they're just greeting each other with a holy kiss and love. He goes, oh. I'm like, oh, jeez. So be careful of them. But it is in the Bible. Be devoted to one another in love. 15% have to do with humility. Give preference to one another in honor. You know what that means for us here? Every single person in here is more important than you. And you are more important than every other person in this room. It's the way you respond to each other. I give preference to you in honor. There's no big shots and little shots. There's no superstars and no stars. We're all God's children created in his image. So what do? We prefer one another around here. You know, when you made food tonight, or you brought something, or you helped set up or tear down or make the coffee, or you know what that is? That's an act of love of serving one another. And God takes great pleasure when we do that. There's one here, number three. It's on the big list for the married people. We'll skip it for the single people. It's what husbands and wives you can do. Here's another list. Don't judge one another. Bear one another's burdens. Is there anybody in this room right now, you know of at least one thing that somebody in this room is struggling with or they're going through that's hard? It could be a sin issue. It could be a financial issue. It could just be an emotional thing. You know something that somebody's going through that's really hard right now. Do you know in the church? I hope it doesn't feed back. We should all know. And not because you discovered it on Facebook. You should know what they're struggling with. You should know what's hard. Why? So you can tell everybody, man, do you guys know how messed up Matt Donahue is? Oh my gosh, I was at church and he shared this thing with me. Oh, man, is he a mess. No, that's not why. That idea of bearing one of his burdens, stand up, Matt. It literally means if you were standing here, it's like he's got a broken leg and you're literally bearing his burden and helping him get off the field so he can take a seat and he can heal. When you come in here to the refuge, we ought to be a community that we can bear one another's burdens, but that doesn't start if you don't start sharing them. What happens if you share a burden and nobody helps you? Well, you're no worse off than you were when you came in. There's already nobody helping you. Take a risk. It might just be Isaac trying to sort out, I don't know how to help Pastor Mike, but you know what? I'm going to rub his back and give him a couple pats here and rub it a couple more times. But it's like he asked. I wasn't going to lie to him. Why? Because he deserves more than me lying to him. Now, I don't have to go into details of everything that went on in my life, but he asked, how was your week? I said, it was really hard. Because it was. Do you know why most pastors burn out and crumble, fall apart, and just explode and completely destroy their ministries? Because they have hard days too, and they have nobody to tell. Why? Because they don't have a community. They just have a bunch of people they preach at. Some of you, work can be hard. School can be hard. Marriage can be hard. Life can be hard. Being a kid can be hard. It'd be good for the community of the refuge to be such a family that says, you know what? We're going to bear one another's burdens. I'm going to wrap this up because I have a homework assignment. You guys can finish the one on your own. I have some memories of church before I was even a Christian that changed my lives. My life. One of the best memories I have of church is in a 100-year-old church with creaky wood floors and wood pews and purple robes for the preachers and the choir and grandma on the organ. And I actually even got to be one of those little boys with that little candle. They call them what, altar boys, acolyte boys? Some of you have been in Methodist church. You know what those acolyte boys are. I mean, that's a big deal, man. All right? And you light the little wick thing, and you try not to put it out because you have to walk up there in this holy procession, all right? And you get to light the candles up on the altar, right? All right? And it's like, it's a big deal when you're like probably 8, 9 years old. I don't know, but it's kind of a big deal, right? And then you snuff it out if the candles are lit, and you turn around, and you walk out, and they probably play some special song. That's not the big deal. It's the smell of coffee in that room that was a big deal. Because guess what? Every week they had this hour, coffee hour before church. And they had cookies and donuts and coffee. And I remember being in there as a little kid, not even knowing Jesus, and watching young people, old people, a diverse group of people, rich people, lawyers, farmers in this room. And that was a time where they all talked and caught up in their life and they shared life with each other. And the smell of coffee, to me, associated people actually sharing lives together. And then they had to stop and go do the real church thing and get in the pews and the rows and do the thing. But my favorite part of church, even as a little kid, was running around with all my little kid friends and watching the adults share life. Best memory. Next memory. I received Christ when I'm in high school as a senior. I go off to Michigan State University, huge campus, all right? I meet this guy in the dorms, and I'm falling apart spiritually. Things aren't going well, and he decides to disciple me and help me. And he invites me to this thing called a home group on a Sunday night. And I come into this old house like they have in Ghent, and I sit in this house, and I'm sitting in this living room. And there's young couples with little kids, and there's single people, and there's all these people in here, all right? And they're sitting there, and it's amazing. I'm watching them, and they're sitting around, and I'm watching single people. I'm watching married couples bring in, like, casseroles and different things. I'm watching single people who have houses together bringing in salads and desserts. And I'm watching college kids who live in the dorms where you can't prepare food, and they're bringing a bag of bread, or they're bringing a thing of soda, or they're bringing Oreo cookies, and they come and they set it out in the kitchen. Because everybody did what? Everybody brought something. Why? Because they were contributing to the needs of the saints. They were practicing hospitality. They were serving one another. Not equally. They didn't all have the same amount of money. But they all said, we're family, we're community, we're going to bring something. We'll put something on a table, we'll share it. And I watched them go through, and I watched them do this, and they would eat, and they would sit around, and you catch up on your week. And I'm sitting in the living room, and then they'd say, hey, does anybody have anything to share about what happened in their life that week? And they begin to share about their life, you know? And then their four-year-old goes, can I share my memory verse? And I'm like, I'm a college kid, right? I'm a Christian. I don't memorize the Bible. And his kids, and they're all like, yeah, you know, Nathan, what's the verse? My verse this week is, let another praise you. May praise not come from your own lips. Like, dang. You know, and then going around the room, and this one girl, she raised her hand, you know, God taught me something this week, because on Philippians 2:14, it says, do all things without grumbling or complaining. And I just have to confess, I got a really complaining, negative attitude, and God's kicking my butt. And then somebody breaks out a guitar and they sing songs and they worship together. And then an elder gives like a short 10-minute teaching or whatever, which is profound, and I'm listening to this thing. And then they did something that's amazing. They broke bread. They had communion. White Wonder bread and Welch grapefruit juice. But there's something holy about it in that room, and I didn't want to leave. When they left, when you see them during the week, you're connecting with what? We became family in that room. And guess what happened? I'll tell you next week. Seriously. I'll tell you next week what happened. I will say, it ruined me. An old Methodist church with a smell of coffee and cookies and a college campus house ruined me, to where rows and pews and great worship and coliseums and cathedrals and big church was never enough again. I became a deacon, I became a pastor, and something inside still, it's not enough, it's not enough, it's not enough. Why? We are created for community, to be involved in each other's lives. Now, here's your homework assignment, if you so choose. There are about 100 verses on here, 36 different topics. Every one of them is a one another verse. I want to encourage every single one of you to take one of these sheets. Pass them around for me, please, sir. Just take one. And what I'm going to ask you to do is to ask God, Lord, which one or two of these this week can I do? I'll just practice it. Because how many of you know sometimes there's a lot of stuff we know we should do, we just never get around to doing it because we just, what? Get distracted, get busy? It's not because we hate people or God, it's just we're busy doing life. Get a pen out or a highlighter. And for you, pick the easiest one. Now, God, guys, don't just pick, you know, greet each other with a kiss one. Line up in school tomorrow and say, I have to practice what my preacher told me. Line up, girls. Probably not the plan. Now, husbands, wives, you should practice this tonight. Be a good thing. Greet each other with a kiss. All right? And look at it and just say, you know what? It says, through love, serve one another. Wouldn't it be cool just to get before the Lord and say, God, I really want to be a person who's connected in people's lives. And I want to not accidentally do this. I want to intentionally do this, God. I want to do this. Amen? All right, so, any questions? Because I want to talk too long, because I want you to be able to do some of this stuff again. And by the way, can I just say this? You guys are amazing. Just what you've been doing the last 3 weeks, in my opinion, Jamie and I were talking about it, right? It's better. It's better. It really is. It's better. And it feels good. And you're a part of my dream. This is part of my dream. When people walk in here and say, man, these people really love each other. They laugh. They pray. Ashley came in, and I'm sure she wouldn't mind me. She came in. She said, Pastor, I can't stay. My uncle, right? My uncle just died. Had a heart attack. My father has to go tell my grandmother, right, that her son just died. That's not a time to rejoice with one another. So Taylor and Ashley, we joined hands, and we prayed for her because she has to go and support her father. Quattro, tell you straight up, he just plumb out exhausted, tired, wore out. Said, can I have the night off? No, man. Suck it up. Serve, man. We got to do church. No, you can have a night off. But if you don't come every week just because you're tired and worn out, you probably need to come. Why? So we can encourage you and refresh you and build you up. How many know just sleeping more doesn't necessarily make you not tired? Sometimes our tiredness is a spiritual soul tired. And that gets filled up by being with people, not away from people. Any thoughts, questions? criticisms for Pastor Kathy. She handles those. You know, if you look around the refuge, it's becoming more and more beautiful. Just the mix of people, mix of age groups. Yep. You guys are such a blessing. I want one more of those, but you let Pastor Kathy hold yours every week. Therefore, we will not have another one of those. We're talking about babies since this has been recorded. But we get to hug each other's babies and play with each other's kids. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for tonight. I thank you, Lord, that each person here is a part of my dream and yours. God, I thank you that the refuge isn't a place just for strong people or weak people. It's a place for people. God, thank you for everybody who serves tonight and is going to serve. God, I pray in Jesus' name that the refuge would become more than just a place of meetings or teachings. It would become family, a community, one that we're excited about bringing friends to. In Jesus' name, amen.